A lot of the things that we experience in life are somehow related to degrees. When we ask what the temperature is, people measure that in degrees. Achievements in the area of martial arts are often rated by level or degree. Sometimes the activities for young people also involve a particular level or a certain degree. The song that Micah just led us in also deals with levels, or we might say degrees. Virtually everything that we can associate with Christianity would probably be able to be something that we could categorize with the song that we just sang. Tonight I want to think about the words of the hymn. I'm glad that Micah led all four verses. And as we think about the stanzas of the song that we just sang, I want to think about this information in terms of prayer. I'd like to propose that as we think about prayer, people as they pray, pray on one of the four levels described in the hymn that we just went through. We find, for example, that when some people pray, their prayers would be consistent with the first stanza. Their prayers typically are all about their own lives. Their prayers are about their needs and the things that they want to achieve in life. Others pray, and in this second level, sometimes those prayers involve some about self and some about God. Then as a person continues to make progress in the spiritual life, as they live the Christian life, they get to that third level. It is less about self and it's more about God. After a person has lived maybe a sacrificial life for many years, then they may get to that fourth level where at that particular time it's mainly about God and very little attention is given to self. We want to also tie in some Bible passages for each of these four levels. And as we think about the first level, here's a person who is almost exclusively focused on himself or herself. When we think about this kind of individual, and especially as we think about prayer, one of the better passages that might be introduced for this topic or this part of our subject is the text in James 4. We want to look at James 4, verses 1 through 3. As you're turning here, James comes to the end of his book. He's got one more chapter after James 4. But in this section of James, he says that there were some contentions. Some Christians were involved with fighting. Not only does he talk about this quarreling, or not only does he talk about this fighting, he actually, in James 4, uses the word kill. Now, I am not persuaded that James was saying that people, especially Christians, were actually killing one another. The killing could have been literal, but more than likely this is symbolic language to describe the conflict that existed among James' readers. Now, this conflict not only existed, James says there was also a basis for it. He asks, whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not? In other words, here's the basis. Do they not come even from the pleasures that war in your members? James knew about some people, some Christians, who were interested in pleasure. These people were so interested, so focused on themselves and pleasure that James said, figuratively, you'd kill to get it. Sometimes a person will say, well, I would kill to have that. I'd give my right arm, I'd give my left leg for that if I could only possess that. Well, James was dealing with some people who were so pleasure hungry. He says, it's like you are willing to attack one another to get it. Verse 2 in James 4 gives us an even fuller picture of what was being done. He says, ye lust, but ye don't have. Ye kill and covet and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, ye have not because ye ask not. As you look at verses 1 and 2, you might be inclined to think that these kind of people would never pray. If you have people who are so selfish, they are compared to people who fight, they quarrel, they're willing to be violent, at least in symbolic terms, would they ever pray to God? The answer to this question is yes. James, as he continues the point, he also provides some information in verse 3, which is insightful. He says, ye ask, these people did pray. Ye ask, but you don't receive. Why not? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may spend it in your pleasures. Now, there were some times, the end of verse 2, where apparently these people did not pray. In James 4:3, though, we also find there were times, there were occasions where these Christians did pray. It is not difficult to see how the information in James 4, 1 through 3, lines up with the first stanza of the hymn we just sang. People can be so focused on themselves that when it comes to prayer, they only pray about the things that they want. Now, we're far removed from James' time, but I maintain that there are still a lot of people who offer selfish prayers today. If you will remember back to Hurricane Sandy, that happened not that long ago, after this storm landed, and after they began to survey the damage, there was a man in a New York apartment who was able to weather the storm pretty well. As millions of people were out of power, as thousands of homes were flooded, as dozens of people, about 50 people, as they were killed in Hurricane Sandy, there was at least one fellow who was sitting pretty comfortably in his apartment. Lights flickered on and off a few times, but you know, he still had power and still had the things that he needed. There was a mom in Colorado, and she wanted to see her son, the fellow who was in that apartment complex. And rather than pray for the homeless people, rather than pray for the people who had lost their loved ones, rather than pray for the people whose homes had been flooded, that lady, and she admitted it, she said, "My prayer is a selfish prayer, but I prayed for my son, that he could come out to Colorado and be with me on his birthday." We can kind of understand that. I guess from one perspective, that was a mom. She wanted to see her son. But if you have people who have lost their loved ones, they don't have a place to sleep at night. They don't have a home to go to because it's been flooded. Her concern, her focus, as she was praying to God, "Please let my son be able to come home for his birthday." James was dealing with the same kind of people in James chapter 4. And we deal with this day in and day out with people. God knows that there are people who, when they pray, they are selfish in their prayers. In James chapter 4, James comes down very hard on these people. And he says, "This is not that you want to pray. For many people, though, God is nothing more than a divine butler. They come up with their lists of wants and requests, and it may not be a typewritten list or handwritten list, but they have the things that they want in life, and that is what they send up to God on a regular basis. 'God, give me, Lord, I want, please send me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, we sing the song that we sing here from time to time, the hymn that we just went through. And when we have that first stanza led, we need to be looking at our lives. Does that describe us spiritually? And not just prayer. But are we focused on ourselves more than on others, more than on God? James says in James 4, verse 3, that people, when they pray this way, they ask amiss. When people live in this way, we might say that they live amiss. James says, if you're praying in this way, don't expect to receive anything. At least anything that you want, anything positive from God. Verse 4 goes even further. We didn't read verse 4, but in James 4, verse 3, James talks about these people, these selfish people who were praying to God for their own lust, and he says, "You are adulteresses." Can you imagine that? A preacher writing to people, and once again, I think the language is probably symbolic here. They were not literally involved with adultery. But James says, "Your prayers are so childish, they are so selfish, they are so immature, you are guilty of spiritual adultery." You're trying to be a friend of the world. As you're focused on yourself, that is so far off what God wants you to be. You're spiritually bankrupt. When we try to live a spiritual life where it's all about self, we are going to fail. From prayer to praise, Christianity is not about self. It's about God and others. Well, James sternly rebukes these people, so we know that we don't want to live like the first stanza of our song. So let's move to the second stanza. This, of course, is the hymn, the part of the hymn where it says some about self and some about God. Now, this sounds a lot better. I mean, if we're not focused completely on self, we'll bring God in and let's see how it's going to work out if we have something like a 50-50 split or 60-40 split or 70-30 split. I'm going to, as far as this part of the lesson, move from James 4 and head over to one of the stories Jesus told. It's in Luke chapter 18. And you may remember this story. It's a fairly well-known teaching by Jesus. It involves two men. These two men went up into the temple, and Jesus says they both went there to pray. There's a contrast. One of these men was a Pharisee. Pharisee, of course, was one of the most religious people in the first century. The other fellow that Jesus talks about was a tax collector. And just as we have tax collectors today, the IRS, such was also true in the first century. Now, as we look at the first fellow, this is, of course, going to be the Pharisee. We find that his prayers were not that effective. The prayer from the other man, though, the prayer from the tax collector, that was effective. Pharisee failed, the tax collector did not. If you turn over to Luke 18, let's see what we find in verse 10. Two men, Jesus says, went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now as we look at these two fellows, we at this point do not know what these men prayed for. Neither do we at this point know if the prayers of these men were honored by God. We're going to, in a moment, look at verses 11 and 12. But let's for now skip these two verses and see what we find in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. But the publican, this is the tax collector. He stood afar off. He would not lift up his eyes unto heaven. He beat his breast, saying, "Be thou merciful to me, God, a sinner." This man in sorrow for a sin, this man in humility, he would not look up to heaven. He said, "God, be merciful to me." He didn't ask for any material possession. He didn't offer a birthday prayer or anything like that. He was thinking about spiritual things, and he said, "God, I know who I am. I know my spiritual deficiencies. And oh God, please be merciful to me. I need to be forgiven of my transgressions." The tax collector was focused on spiritual things, and Jesus says he was justified. He went down to his house in a right relationship with God, verse 14. Well, we know what happened with one of the fellows. We know what he prayed for and how things went. Let's now look at the other guy. This information, if we back up in verses 11 and 12, we can see it there. The Pharisee, the second man, stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as the rest of men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this publican. In my life, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now notice carefully that as this second man, he offers his prayer to God, he specifically makes reference to deity. He pauses and offers reverential remarks to God. There's no doubt that he is reverent in his prayer. We even find thanksgiving. This man, as he prayed to God, he says, God, I thank you. God, I'm appreciative. Unlike the person who says, Lord, give me this. God, I want this. This man didn't do that. He did not have a laundry list of material possessions. Rather than say this or that, this man described how he lived. He, as he prayed, offered to God a pretty good recollection of his record. He pretty much ticked off all the things that he avoided and even included some of the things that he did do. Like the second stanza in the hymn that we sang, some of self, some of God. That's really what we find in this particular situation. Well, if we say that this man did some of self and some of God, how did he do? Jesus did not say that this man went down to his house justified. Some focus on self, some focus on God. But this was not enough. It takes people a little while before they start to mature in the faith. When a person first becomes a Christian, more than likely they're going to be praying, if not exclusively about things related to the self, it's going to be some about God, and it's also going to be some about self. And for a period of time, we can understand that. People do need a period of spiritual growth. There has to be some allowance given for spiritual maturity. But the man in Luke 18, he was a Pharisee. He should have had enough spiritual maturity to know that 50-50 was not going to cut it. The same is true today for a person who's been a Christian for 5 years or 10 years. By that time, when we're dealing with prayer in that person's life or something else, that person should be way beyond level one. It should not be all selfish prayer and selfish other items in the Christian life. And it should also be, when we think about prayer and other things, it should also have moved past level two, where it's more than, well, some of God and some of self. When it comes to prayer, and even other things in the spiritual life, the minimum goal that we should have is the third level that is described by the hymn that we sang earlier. Less of self, more of God. That's the target that we want to shoot for. Now, we know that this is a good range to be in because of the model prayer that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6. If you go back and you look carefully at that prayer, you'll find that it begins with these words. Jesus says, and after this manner, Matthew 6 verse 9, pray ye. Well, what does that manner involve? Does Jesus start off the prayer with material possessions? God, give me this, and Lord, I want this. No, that's not how the prayer begins. If we go back and study the prayer, Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Rather than focus on the things in this life, that prayer points man to God in a reverent way, and it also points people to honoring God. Hallowed, reverent be thy name. More spiritual attention follows. He talks about the kingdom, it coming, which it has now come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. The opening verses in Jesus' prayer, the opening words say absolutely nothing about man and his material needs. Today, people often focus their prayer on people. If not their own needs, maybe the needs of someone else, and that's not inherently bad. But that's not where Jesus began when he dealt with the model prayer. He first focused that prayer on God. Well, some might say, well, that's just one illustration of it. Well, when we look at the model prayer in Luke 11, verse 2, presumably spoken on a different occasion, Jesus followed this same pattern. It's only after we have this focus on God that things get, at that point, moved around a bit, and then we find some attention given to man and his material needs. Now, as that model prayer continues, we find in Matthew chapter 6 some attention being given to some other things. Jesus talked about prayer. In that prayer, he talked about food. He also, in that prayer, talked about food, our daily bread. So he was mindful of physical things. But rather than begin the prayer with physical things, Jesus started it out with a focus on spiritual things. He also, as he moved through that prayer, talked about things such as forgiveness. When we look at the model prayer, you may or may not have considered this in the past, but it is noteworthy not only about what we find, but it's also significant what we don't find. There is no reference to people in the first century getting a new camel. That oftentimes was their way of transportation. Now, we'd say a new car today, but for them, they didn't have automobiles. So nothing about getting a new camel. There's nothing in there about getting more sheep. People surely wanted a bigger flock of sheep, and they wanted some of the other things that were common in that day and time. They had desires just like people today do. Jesus was familiar with those desires. But when he dealt with that model prayer, he excluded those things, and there has to be a reason for that. In today's terms, though, as we think about modern man, people, when they pray, their prayer is going to be for a new house, it's going to be for a new car, a new fishing boat. God, we'd really like a new backyard fence. We'd like some privacy from our neighbors. Well, we might. We really might like a new this or a new that. But is that really the right way to pursue it as far as praying to God for those kinds of things? Some prayers do need to stress material things. We sometimes have people who struggle with employment. God knows we have to eat. It's His intent that people work. So we might have an employment prayer. People get sick, and it's certainly right to go ahead and have a health prayer. But materialism, material things, those things, when we look at the Bible, that's not the focus. That's not what God really intends for us to put in prayer. Give me this and give me this. Making spiritual things a priority. Less of self, more of God. Stanza 3 over him, it is a perfectly reasonable level for prayer and other spiritual things. Praying this way is something that each Christian can do. It may take us a little while to get to that point, but that is a reasonable goal. Stanza 3 in our hymn is good. It's pretty good, as we see from Jesus' model prayer. But you know that third stanza is not quite up to the level that we find with the last stanza. Sometimes people in life are what we might think of as super achievers. I mean, they just, as we sometimes say, go overboard. In the spiritual realm, there is that fourth level, which is expressed in the hymn that we sing. We will likely never get, or never stay at every single time, the level that is none of self and all of God. But that's a level that we can shoot for. And it's a level that we can try to achieve on a regular basis. When we look at the Bible, we do have some indications of some circumstances where people or creatures were fully focused on God. They had divested themselves of all self-interest. And they were completely focused on God. We've seen this a few times in our study in Revelation. You may remember back in Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, these words. And when the living creature shall give glory and honor and thanks to him that sitteth on the throne, to him that liveth forever and ever. They're not focused on themselves. As these creatures are thinking about God, they are 100% focused on Him. God is receiving the honor, the thanks, and the concentration is on no one but Him. Revelation 5, the next chapter, this time verse 12, we have similar praise. Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power, the riches, the wisdom, the might, the honor, the glory, and the blessing. Well, it's not only this heavenly scene that we find God being honored in this way, but even in the Old Testament sometimes. If you go back and you look at the Psalms, there were periods in David's life where as he prayed to God, those prayers contain nothing but praise. He looks to God, he sees what God has done, he thinks about who God is, and his prayer, again, no focus on self whatsoever, he heaps praise on God. If we as a person want to grow spiritually, sometimes a person says, well, I just don't feel that spiritual. I just don't feel that close to God. What can I do to really help me grow in my spiritual life? Well, the four stanzas that we sang will help us. But especially when it comes to prayer, if we start praying in such a way where the focus is not on us, and it's not a 50-50 split, and it's not even less about us, but if we can come to times where we, as we pray, we are completely focused on God, I'd like to suggest that our lives are probably going to see some significant changes. Tonight, if we were to look at our prayer life over the last week, the last month, the last year, and we would compare it with the hymn that we just sang, which stanza would be right? Would we be someone, as we pray typically, it's all about me? Hopefully not. We might be someone who would be in that second category. Well, my prayers are kind of split. Yes, there's plenty about me, but there's also some about God. Another person would say, well, I'm probably, the third level, stanza 3. Less about me, more about God. How close are we to that fourth level? If we think our prayer life is pretty good, if we'd say, well, I'm definitely level 3, and there are some times where I think my prayer life is at level 4, consider the following. How long has it been since we offered a prayer that contained nothing but praise for God? We're not going to ask for a show of hands, but it's very possible that there is not there's a person here tonight that has never prayed in that way. You cannot point back to any time in your life where you have uttered a prayer and there was nothing in that prayer but praise and honor for God, as we see in Revelation 4 and Revelation chapter 5. Has there ever been a time where we were outside, and now is a good time of year? We're out for a walk, maybe we're in a park, maybe taking the grandkids out for a walk, whatever it is. And as we see the creation, a lot of people say, oh, that's a beautiful flower, that's a wonderful tree. Flowering trees are in bloom this time of year. But not so much, well, that's a pretty tree. But the thoughts that go through our head, God, you are a magnificent God. From the trees to the lakes to the hills, whatever we can see, you are a magnificent God. To the clouds. And in the prayer that we offer, there's nothing but honor for God and the glory of his creation. Have we ever prayed a prayer that involves the thanksgiving for the salvation of mankind? Could be a short prayer, could be a longer prayer. But that's the thing that we solely focus on. I suspect that a lot of prayers are kind of like a junk drawer in a kitchen. Some of us probably have a junk drawer somewhere in the house. It may not be in the kitchen, it may be in the garage. And as you open up that particular drawer, I mean, it's not junk, but I mean, stuff is just strewn in there. Got a pair of scissors over here, and you got some string over here, and there's some duct tape here. And whenever you want something, you just open up that drawer, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to be there. Prayer can fall into that same category, where people think, well, okay, let's just toss in this, and let's just toss in this, and let's just toss in this, and we've got some requests too, and there it is, God. Well, he'll probably take some of those junk drawer prayers. But when we pray, if we can focus on the kinds of things that are being developed tonight, it's going to help us greatly. Then, as we look at our life as a Christian, we think back to some of the things that we've done. Have we ever used time in prayer to do nothing but thank God for the mercy and the grace that he's shown to us? I hope so. We're not going to get to that fourth level unless we sometimes pray in that way. Remember that man in Luke chapter 18. He goes up to the temple to pray. No material need is mentioned in his prayer. God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. What a heartfelt prayer. What a great crying out to God. Jesus said that man went down to his house justified. When we start to pray to God in the kinds of ways that have been developed this evening, we're going to start seeing some great spiritual maturity in our lives. Prayers that are really focused on God for the most part. We have, as we think about prayer, 4 basic choices. The 4 choices in the song. We can make prayer all about us. Not a wise choice. We can make prayer partly about us and partly about God. Better, but still not a good choice. We can make prayer primarily about God and sometimes about us. That's a pretty good choice. Model prayer. Luke 11, Matthew 6. And then as we pray, sometimes we can hit that fourth level, where there's nothing about us. It's about God. Who he is. His glory. The amazing things that he's done for man through Jesus Christ. Which of these kinds of prayers do we want to offer on a regular basis? If you're at level 1, level 2, take a look at the psalm. And commit to praying in a different kind of way on a regular basis. And it will help you spiritually. Well, for that to work, we need to become a Christian. And tonight we hope that you've done that. We hope that you have faith in Christ. No reason to pray if we don't believe. No reason to pray if we're not willing to repent. No reason to pray if we're not willing to confess. And once you've been baptized into Christ, we have all spiritual blessings, one of which is prayer. And God wants to use it. God wants us to use it in the right way. Tonight, if we can help you, encourage you in the area of prayer, if we can help you become a Christian, if there's a way that we can help bump you up maybe a little bit spiritually in your life, will you let us know about that need? And let us know about that now as we stand and sing the selected song.